97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present Today's Business with Sharon Hill. Listen as Sharon Hill discusses trending topics in today's business world with entrepreneurs and leaders in the community and what they're doing to provide innovation and guidance for success. Find this and all episodes at WCHL's chapelboro.com. Now, Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thank you for tuning in. My guest today is Mr. Sammy Martin, co-owner of Franklin Street Realty. Sammy, thank you for coming and speaking with me today.
Hi, Sharon. I'm really glad to be here.
Pleasure to meet you. Sammy, I'm sure most of our audience have heard your voice for the ads you do on WCHL, but now I've got a chance to really get to hear Sammy Martin do some talking. Tell us about Franklin Street Realty. Sammy, how long has it been around?
1991, a few people got together that had worked in larger corporate ventures and did not like that vibe. And we got together. We started out as 7 people. We now have 20, 3 of whom are owners. And one of the things that I like the most about it is about everyone that's ever left Franklin Street Realty either retired or went to manage another office. And I'm pretty proud of that.
How long have you personally been involved in real estate?
Oh, forever. starting in 1983,
uh-huh.
I taught tennis in Chapel Hill, played tennis and taught tennis for years. And in 1982, I got hurt and went through my meager savings and decided that real estate was obviously the logical next step.
Was there a boom in Chapel Hill at that time?
It was starting, but we were also just coming out of a recession. So to give your perspective on this, an FHA one-year adjustable mortgage at the time was 9.5%. And 2 years before I got into the business, interest rates were hovering around 20%.
Yeah.
So when I hear people talk about, oh, no, a spike in interest rates, they're going up to 5, my eyes just glaze over and it sends me way back.
You can remember when. Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Well, being that long in real estate, where do you see Chapel Hill going? What are the biggest challenges you see in Chapel Hill real estate, Sammy?
I would say that the biggest challenge we face is to try to preserve some of what made Chapel Hill special to begin with. Because there have been a lot of changes over the last few years. It started with the opening of I-40. A lot of people lived in Chapel Hill prior to the opening of I-40 from the park, and they remember a very different community. With I-40 access to Research Triangle, you no longer had to drive down a little two-lane winding country road to get to work.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, thousands of people that would have clogged 54 and who chose not to live here had easy access to Chapel Hill in the school system. And developers paid attention to that. And that's when the real estate boom really started, which would have been in the mid to late 80s. And it really hasn't stopped until the last couple of years. And now it's picking up again, but in a different way, because now instead of development moving out, development is going up. And you're seeing that in Greenbridge, you see it in 140 West, and you see it in some of the student housing downtown like Shortbread Lofts. You see it on East 54, and I haven't seen the final plans for what the university is going to do at University Square, but it's not going to be a two-story commercial development there. They're going to be apartments, they're going to be businesses, they're going to be offices, and they're all going to be going up in the air.
Sammy, why up and not out? For example, I know that Wake County bought Morrisville. They're eating into more areas, going out. Why is Chapel Hill going up in terms of these structures?
Well, we can't go south because you're running into Chatham County. You can't go west because you have University Lake Watershed. It's difficult to go north because I-40 cuts across it, and there's no sewer north of I-40. Yeah. And if you go east, the Durham County line is right there. So we are hemmed into the very bottom. We're hemmed into the southwest corner of Orange County. Excuse me, that would be the southeast corner. And there is no way to go anymore because people don't want the sprawl, and they want people here and they want businesses here, but they don't want to go into the rural buffer and develop it the way Raleigh and Johnson County, places like this, they have no problem doing that.
Oh, so we're contained. We have to go up.
Trying to, but that's what also drives up property values, because when you have the same number of people wanting to move in every year, then where do those people go? And that's where the affordable housing crisis really starts, right there.
Got it. You mentioned that how much Chapel Hill has changed. I can imagine that some of the old school, air quotes, people are quite upset about the change in the just the status, the beauty, the elitism of Chapel Hill.
Well, it used to be that when you went down Franklin Street, there were businesses that you went to every day that you knew the owners. That doesn't happen very much on East Franklin Street anymore. It does happen down West Franklin Street. And I think you get more of a flavor of what Chapel Hill was. And if you go on into Carrboro, even more so. When I moved here in 1976, I didn't know where Carrboro was. And I worked at the Chapel Hill Tennis Club. I just knew that there was a restaurant over there near a mill that I went to. Wow. And look at what Carrboro is now. In a lot of ways, what Chapel Hill was in the 70s has simply moved across Merritt Mill Road and is now in Carrboro.
Whoa, isn't that amazing?
Well, it is. And you also see a resurgence in Durham now, where again, I think that I don't want us to lose sight of what put Chapel Hill on the map. And I think where they're doing that best is some other communities which are also incredibly liberal hotbeds. Asheville, Carrboro, Durham to a degree.
Right.
And it used to be that only Chapel Hill was that little gem in North Carolina, and there's some others now.
Oh, the one that Jesse Helms wanted to put a fence around and say could contain us.
Yeah, I grew up in Raleigh. I remember him on TV every night. It was just amazing.
Well, before my time, I can imagine. Yeah. Are you a North Carolina native, Sam?
I grew up in Raleigh.
In Raleigh the whole time.
And I have made a conscious choice to stay over here.
In Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
Sam, if anybody want to contact Franklin Street Realty, what's your contact information?
Oh, I say you go to the website, which is franklinstreetrealty.com. And you can probably do it as ST or Street, but it's a good website and you can get to anybody or anything from that.
All righty. Sam, let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about, or have you talk about, some more about the biggest challenges that you're facing right now.
Happy
Is that all right?
To, sure.
Thank you. You're listening to WCHL 97.9. My guest today is Mr. Sammy Martin, who is the co-owner of Franklin Street Realty. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Years ago, we launched chapelboro.com so that our community could have its first digital town square. Since then, our town has evolved and chapelboro.com is evolving with it.
Chapelboro 2.0 carries the same great features and now provides an even better user experience. With its sleek new design and wide accessibility, Chapelboro 2.0 truly is
bigger, faster, and stronger.
We encourage you to stop by multiple times a day. We guarantee there'll always be something new to see.
Chapelboro 2.0, bigger, faster, stronger. Check it out now.
We now return to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Today's Business, focusing on business innovation and success right here in the Chapel Hill Carrboro community. Once again, your host, Sharon Hill.
We are back. My guest today is Mr. Sammy Martin, who is the co-owner of Franklin Street Realty. Sammy, when we left off, you were talking about how some folks might be a little upset about losing the charm of Chapel Hill. Please discuss some of the other challenges you see as a realtor.
I think that the banking industry has got to catch up a little bit with the real estate industry at this point. In 2007, 2008, things had swung pretty far away from the center that I would expect banking to adopt. They were loaning money in other parts of the country. Money was being loaned to people that clearly couldn't pay it back. There was no justification for doing it. It was driven by the securitization of mortgages, which had never happened before. What happened with the banking crisis and the real estate total meltdown has by and large been undone in Chapel Hill now. And what I'm seeing is a resurgence in property values, a pickup in demand, and a pickup of capability of people to buy houses. But what I am noticing is in Chapel Hill, there are a lot of people that do not have, for want of a better term, they don't have a real job. They make money and they get 1099s or they report income, but they don't have a W-2 and they don't all work for Glaxo and they don't all work for the university. And these are people that are finding it incredibly difficult to take advantage of the low interest rates that we have right now. These are people that have never missed a payment on a house. They've never missed a primary resident payment. And yet they have an interest rate that's got them stuck at 6.5% or 7%, where market rates are between 4% and 5%. So if your payment would go from $2,800 a month to $2,000 a month, but the bank says, you know what, I don't like your income here, and so we're really just going to keep you in the loan that you have. It seems like they have you under their thumb, and so they get to keep you under their thumb. And I think that there needs to be something done that reflects people's payment histories and how they commit their money, because they pay their mortgage first and then they deal with everything else after that. Mm-hmm. And I think that until we kind of free up some of the capital that is being tied up that way, that we're just going to languish in really this very sort of sour economy.
I can see that being a challenge. So in terms of real estate, you may have something to sell or buy for working with a client, but it goes nowhere because of the bank? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, here's what I see. One of the dangers, anytime you start to have property values fall, it becomes you have a cascading event. And if somebody is if they're really tight on their mortgage payment, but their mortgage is at 6.5% or 7%, and if you dropped their mortgage interest rate to 4.5%, which is what you are offering new people
right.
when they borrow money, and instead you will not refinance this person's loan because their income stream does not look as stable as it was, then you're going to compel the sale. And when people are compelled to sell, then they often have to take less than the market would actually tell them that house was worth, because they're under the gun. And once that starts, then you have a downward spiral in neighborhoods that affects everybody, which puts the banks in a worse position, which puts the public in a worse position. And honestly, I can't figure out who benefits from this whatsoever.
I think that's a major challenge. Well said. Thank you.
Yeah.
What about affordable housing in Chapel Hill? Do you see a rise in that?
I see a lot of efforts made, and there are a lot of solutions that are put out there. I would hate to see that horse has already left the barn, but it's very tough to come in after the years of development that we've had and then put the brakes on the way housing has gone. One way that they could do it is recognize that in-town zoning can be modified to allow denser development on infill lots. There's just when you see places where you have, say, a half-acre lot, which could easily support a duplex, but the ordinance says that you can only build a single-family home there, then that's, you cut the land price in half by building a duplex. All of a sudden, you have two people that could afford to live somewhere where before it was only one quite wealthy person. And I think that it doesn't have to be just a duplex either. It could be a triplex or a quadruplex, but small, thoughtful, architecturally wonderful multifamily units built on small infill parcels would go a long way towards creating the diversity that we're looking for without building, what I would refer to as projects like everybody thinks is what's going to arise from that.
Sammy, let's move into the future of being a real estate agent. Where do you see that going?
It's a really good question. I was around before there was the internet, when we did everything with MLS books. It was all on paper. It was all in the newspapers. When computers appeared everywhere, the first business to really take a hit was the travel agent business. And everybody looked at the travel industry and said that, well, since travel agents can't survive anymore because everybody can just do it on the internet, then real estate agents must be the next to go. And I think that really ignored the difference between what a travel agent did and what a real estate agent does. A travel agent they are not a fiduciary. They are out there. Look, they're good people. I mean, they deserve to make a living too. But basically, they were helping you figure out your travel plans and get you a cheap hotel and cheap airplane ticket. What a real estate agent is a fiduciary. And that means that their primary focus is on your financial well-being. And the decision-making is all about what's best for you. And at Franklin Street, as in most real estate agencies that I know of, we take that very seriously. And I'll give you an example of how the internet was supposed to change things, but it has helped, but it's not going to make our business go away. Popular sites like Zillow give you property values. In Zillow, it's called a Zestimate. If you dig deep enough into the Zillow website, they'll tell you how close they are on the values. They'll tell you that they're within 5% of the purchase price less than 50% of the time, around 80%, 10% of the time, and within 20%, over 90% of the time. Now, if I operated like that, you would go somewhere else. If I told you over and under 20% on what I think your house is really worth or what I think you should pay for this house. So our standard deviation is 5%.
Fascinating. A lot of people go to Zillow, and I'm hearing you saying, don't use that as the alpha and the omega.
I'm saying that it's a great place to get information.
Yes.
But it cannot tell you, they cannot write an algorithm that will tell you that a particular neighborhood or a particular town is the hottest place in a state to live. They don't have that capability yet. That's what a real estate agent really does. And that's how they educate you.
Samuel, let's take a break right now. You're providing some fascinating information. We'll continue after our break. You're listening to WCHL. My guest today is Mr. Sammy Martin, who is the co-owner of Franklin Street Realty. Please stay with us. We will be right back.
We now return to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 FM. WCHL, Today's Business, focusing on business innovation and success right here in the Chapel Hill Carrboro community. Once again, your host, Sharon Hill.
Thank you for staying with us. My guest today is Mr. Sammy Martin, who is the co-owner of Franklin Street Realty. Sammy, in 2008, people stopped buying houses, but that seems to have changed. How and why has that changed?
Well, when the bottom fell out, people stopped buying out of fear. A fear which was totally justified. I wouldn't have done it, but I guarantee you that Warren Buffett was buying while that was happening, because probably the best time to buy is while everybody else really wants to sell.
Right.
I'm concerned that a lot of younger people, and I'm talking about people in their 20s and early 30s, are that they're only going to remember the panic that ensued from that, and the news and the tweets and the Facebook posts and everything that was just basically that the sky actually is falling. I mean, it didn't stay down, but it really did for
right,
a while there.
Right.
And I think that it's created a fear of property ownership, which I think in the long run is going to hurt people, because you cannot count on Social Security. You cannot count on our political system to really take care of you at the end of your life. It'd be awfully nice not to have to pay rent every month when you're 70 years old. And I think that a way out of this is it's a savings account is what it really is. And it just so happens that if you buy Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Durham, the Triangle in general, you're in one whale of a savings account that is going to pay a lot more than any bank would ever pay in interest. So on a side note with that, when I look at my business and I look at how few younger people are getting into the real estate business, I really wonder what happens when all of us that are in our 50s, what happens when we all die out? Because we remember how this actually is an industry.
Right.
That actually it helps an awful lot of people. But I don't see a lot of people that are 29, 30 years old getting into the business. Now, I got in when I was 29 years old. I have no idea why anybody would have ever worked with me at the time.
Okay.
But the fact is that I was really honest, and I knew what I was doing.
Okay.
And it's, we've parlayed it into something that's been really wonderful, I think, for Chapel Hill and the people that I work with. You know, I got into real estate almost by accident, but I stayed in real estate because I really loved what it represented. I am a person that I like people. I like meeting new people. I like feeling like I'm helping somebody do something that really benefits them in the long term. It's sort of like the satisfaction I got when I was teaching tennis, because this was something that people were doing when they were 25 years old that they were going to be doing when they were 75 years old. And the more I could help them enjoy it, the better it was for me. And I look at what we do as a valuable, it's a really valuable commodity in Chapel Hill, is to work with one of the real estate agents around here that has been here for a long time that can really help you figure out where you fit in this community, which, according to our decision-making process, is one of the best places to live in the whole country.
Beautiful. Sammy, I cannot thank you enough. And your passion comes out loud and clear for real estate. And I thank you for the valuable information you provided to me and our audience today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me. I really
welcome.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you. You've been listening to WCHL 97.9. My guest today has been Mr. Sammy Martin, who is the co-owner of Franklin Street Realty. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening.